I'll read in Luke's gospel. I want to ask you a question. It's a question you can't answer, but you'll probably have some similar thoughts as I do. So here's the scenario. You remember in the book of Genesis where Joseph's brothers found him coming down the path, where their hearts were filled with envy, and they hated him without cause. You remember that they sought to kill him, but instead they cast him into a pit. And they sold him into slavery. Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
Here's one thing they didn't know. Here's one thing that they didn't understand. Here's one thing that could have changed the behavior and could have changed the outcome of that scene that day. What they didn't know, or what they didn't realize, was that a coming day they would be hungry. That in the coming day there would be 7 years of famine. That in the coming day they would go to Egypt for food, much needed food. And that they would stand before their brother. This time he would be the governor of Egypt. Now if they would have had that knowledge, if they would have known beforehand that they would go to Egypt as a hungry family, that they would go to Egypt and that they would stand before their brother, this time he would be the governor of Egypt, would their behavior have been different?
Sure would.
Would their decision have been different? Would they have still sold him into slavery? Would they have still cast him into the pit? Would they still have turned their back on him had they known the future and what was to come? I personally think that that could have changed a lot. I personally think that they would not have sold him into slavery, but I don't know. We'll come back to that point. This morning, in the 23 minutes that we have, I want to take you through 6 points from Pontius Pilate. This morning when I preach, in just a few moments, I'm going to speak upon the Sanhedrin, the 70 plus 1, and we're going to look at them at least briefly in the scriptures this morning. But before we do that, I want to challenge you with 6 thoughts of Pontius Pilate. 6 thoughts of this man, this governor, who before him stood the Lord Jesus Christ. First, Luke chapter 23 and verse 6 and 7. Luke chapter 23 and verse 6 and 7. First says this, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Verse 7 of Luke 23. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he took him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. My first point this morning is that from these verses we can conclude that Pontius Pilate never wanted to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't wake up in the morning and go, oh great, oh wonderful, I get to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ today. In fact, we know that he didn't want to deal with him at all. As soon as he heard, as soon as he was aware that he was a Galilean, as soon as he heard that the jurisdiction was not his, but he could cast him over, that he could push him over, that he could quite possibly lean on Herod to make the decision, he sent him, and he sent him quickly to Herod. He had no desire to pick up the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? You know, if you, after our services today, go out the door and head out into Charlotte, you will find that most of your neighbors do not want to pick up the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that was just the attitude of Pontius Pilate. It was certainly the attitude of many down through the ages. I don't really want to deal with it. I don't really want to pick it up. And as soon as they can avoid the question of what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll choose that path. That's certainly, at least number one, the first thing that we note about Pontius Pilate. He wanted nothing to do with this case. He wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number two, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 12 says this, and from then on Pontius sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king against Caesar. It's interesting. These Jews, though their hearts were darkened, though they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the same one that healed them. This is the same one that taught them. This is the same one who spoke with power and authority. This is the same one who, when he was 12, was in the temple, and they were astonished at his doctrine. But they were smart men. They cared nothing for Caesar, nor in their hearts would they ever bow the knee to a Roman king. But they certainly knew how to apply political pressure, did they not? Look at them using the political environment to help accomplish what they wanted, which is to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ and to cast him out of their lives forever. Look what they said. Aren't you a friend of Caesar's? Hasn't he proclaimed to be a king? We have no king but Caesar. And certainly, if you're a friend of Caesar's, you will deal with this man. Look at the political pressure. Quite possibly down through time, and even in our nation today, we see political pressure applied for those that would stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. So often in our culture, we hear these words. Well, you know this attitude, this thought that prevails, this council culture that is here, this is new. We've never seen this. No, this has been around a long time. Do you remember in John's Gospel, I believe it's John chapter 9, where the man who was born blind could see, and it says in that passage that the Jews had already decided that if anyone were to call him Christ, if anyone were to claim him to be the Messiah, then they would cast them out of the house of the Lord. You could not come into the synagogue should you proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it always has been, and it always will be, to those that take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's going to be political pressure. It's not new. It's not new for you, and it's not new for me, and it certainly wasn't new for Pontius Pilate. They brought up a good point, did they not? Effectively this: if you don't condemn this man, we'll take it up a notch and see if Caesar believes it. It's effective what they said. Let's look at point number three. Point number three. Let's go to John chapter 18 for this. John chapter 18. You see, Pontius Pilate was a political man himself. Pontius Pilate had an ace up his sleeve. Pontius Pilate also knew what it was to be a politician. You had to be the governor of Judea. What an interesting job and what an interesting time. But Pontius Pilate was going to play a little game. Pontius Pilate was going to turn a little trick. Pontius Pilate was going to use the culture of the Jews against the Jews. Pontius Pilate was a bright man himself. And so he thought, these Jews have a custom. These Jews have a tradition. These same Jews, they have a habit. And the habit was this. Isn't it wonderful to see the doctrine and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the Jewish culture? They have a pattern. They have a habit. They have a custom that on the Passover they should release one who is guilty. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that our gospel implanted and embedded in Jewish culture? The pattern was this, that on the Passover, there would be one who was guilty who would go free. One that was condemned that would go free. One that was absolutely a criminal. And yet he should be set free. And Pontius Pilate thought, I think I'll take advantage of that. I think I'll use that to get me around a situation that I never wanted to be in to begin with. I certainly don't want to judge the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't we use this custom? Why don't we use this pattern? For certainly, they will release the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we picked a criminal who was known. And so we picked a name that the masses would remember. So we picked even a murderer from an insurrection, a man named Barabbas. And he would say to the nation of Israel, who do you want to be among you? Who do you want to be among you? The one who healed your aunt or your grandmother? The one who spoke in the temple even the last few days? Or this murderer, Barabbas? Who shall I release unto you? The perfect plan from the perfect politician, only it didn't work, did it? No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, whether it was passing to Herod or to go around the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ through the custom and tradition of the Jews, Pontius Pilate wanted nothing to do with this man. And yet, constantly in Scripture, constantly in the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing works for Pontius Pilate, and Jesus Christ must be dealt with. Isn't that interesting? You're going to have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You can't play politics around him. You can't cast off the decision to another. Each and every one of us, and yes, each and every one in Charlotte, and each and every one in North Carolina, and each and every one in the world, will eventually have to answer the question on their own and in their own heart and mind. What shall I do with Jesus Christ? Let's look at our next point. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. And verse 19 says this. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. And when he was seated on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have you nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Isn't it interesting that he was given a warning? A warning not from a politician, but a warning from his own wife. You be careful. You be careful here. Because I've had a dream and I've suffered many things. Do not accuse this righteous man. It's a verse that we don't often talk about, and we can make it humorous very quickly, right? I mean, husbands, maybe we ought to listen. Maybe we ought to heed. Maybe there's a warning from your wife that you should hear, but quite often in life, many people have heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have proclaimed him to be king. Many have heard the gospel. And yet also many have heard warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful here. Do not cast him off. Be careful what you decide to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the Son of God. Warnings have been given, and warnings go out even today. Be careful. This is the Son of Man. Be careful what you decide to do with this one named the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given a warning. It's not a political warning. It's a warning from someone who loved him. It's a warning from someone who cared about him. And the warning was very simple. Have nothing to do with this man. Do not condemn him. For I have had dreams and have suffered many things. Let's go to Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. It's interesting what the final nail is in the coffin. It's interesting what the final thing is that makes Pontius Pilate send him to the cross of Calvary, an innocent man by his own account. How many times have we read, how many times have we been reminded, how many times does it say in the Scripture that Pontius Pilate thought and knew that he was an innocent man? I find no fault with this man. And yet there was something more powerful than the truth, at least in the heart and mind of Pontius Pilate. Let's read Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. It says this, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto him and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him, to be crucified. Did you get the early part of that verse? Just because it's what the people wanted. Just to content the people. Just to make the majority happy. Just to make all those who hated him without cause. Just to make everyone who disliked and wanted to see the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, just to make the mob happy, just to make the majority happy, Pontius Pilate consented to his death. Isn't that interesting? Another story that we find in Scripture, and we won't turn to it, another story that we find in Scripture is the story about 12 spies, one from each tribe, going into the land. And we have sang the song even from our youth. There were 12 that went into the land. 10 came back with a bad report, and 2 who wanted to follow the Lord in faith. Be careful. Be careful, because these stories ring true in the United States of America, because we are a nation that at the core of it all, our system is based on compromise. Even more than that, our system is based that the majority is right. That the majority would name the next senator of the state of North Carolina. That the majority would name the congressman or woman. That the majority would name the president of the United States of America. And what is built into our fabric, what is leaked into our psyche, is that the majority rule. These are not the Lord's ways. 10 men. 10 men who had seen the Lord's provision. 10 men who witnessed the miracles in Egypt and the plagues upon those who would deny the Lord. 10 men who saw the Red Sea part. 10 men who knew the power and the might of the Almighty said this: we cannot go in. We cannot believe his promises. We cannot take the land, for we have seen giants now. Fear. Live in fear. Don't you dare follow the promises of the Lord. Don't you dare take the Lord Jesus Christ or take the Almighty in their day at his word. Don't you listen to the promises of the Lord. But there were 2. The vast minority, in fact, who stood before the nation of Israel and proclaimed that what they had was enough. Do you know what they had? The promise of the Almighty. We will go in. And we will take the land that the Almighty has promised, not only us, but our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We shall take the land. But the nation of Israel did not listen to the 2. They listened to the majority. And I want to remind you what happened to this generation when the majority ruled, at least within the confines of the Lord's people. It is something that is on my mind, not daily, but almost daily. I am reminded of this generation, and I want to tell you, if I could give you a warning, I want to tell you what happened. This generation that would not live in faith, this generation that would not follow the promises of the Lord, they wandered around for 40 years until each and every one of this unfaithful, unbelieving generation died. And the Lord could not work, nor could the Lord fulfill the promises that he had given because of their unbelief. And I ponder and I wonder, is that us? Are we the new generation who will not walk in the ways of the Lord and who will not hear the promises of God? Will we wander for 40 years until each and every one of our unbelieving souls have perished away, and that he would work and revive a new generation that would walk and believe the promises of the Lord? Do not believe the majority. Do not heed the culture. Pontius Pilate made a decision
because the vast majority wanted it to be so. Let it be not said of you. So often, at work, people question and they marvel a bit. What do you mean there's 35 at your shop? What do you mean there's 35 in the house of the Lord? What do you mean there's 35? What do you mean you meet in a building? Our rent is literally $500. You could imagine the wonder that is a $500 a month rent. Why would you look different than everyone else? We must look different than the lost and dying. If the world is going that way, we better be moving another way. We better look different. We better act different. We better seem different to a lost and dying world. Because God help our souls should we go with the majority. God have mercy on us should we follow the culture. Lastly, and I'm running out of time. In my 4 minutes left, I've got two more points. The last point with Pontius Pilate, the sixth point would be that this man washed his hands in Matthew's gospel. I don't want to make a decision. I won't make a decision. This man is strange. You did make a decision. Did not Jesus Christ be sent to be crucified? You can act in your deranged mind. You can act in your own world and in your own mind. As if you are not making a decision on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can imagine that you're washing your hands and have not made the call on the Son of Man, whether he be guilty or whether he be worthy of death. But I want to remind you that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. This culture, this city, this town, this state, this nation, so many around them say, I don't make a call and I don't make a decision. But oh, but when we say that, we've made the decision. We've made the call. Pontius Pilate condemned Jesus Christ to death, all by saying, I want nothing to do with this man. And he washed his hands of a decision that he'd already made. Lastly, I want to remind you of this. Seventh thought. Remember those sons of Jacob? Would they have condemned their brother had they known that many years later that they would stand before him? You see, the precedent has already been set. And the truth is this. So often, as I preached in Camp Hope last week in Georgia to 115 young boys and girls, you think the decision is yours. You sit in the seat and you hear the word of the Lord, and your conscience is convicted, your heart and mind is convicted, and you think you decide on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the irony is this: there is coming a day when everything will change. We don't have it recorded in God's word, and I can't tell you chapter and verse, but I can guarantee that it happened one day, whether it was 3 months after this, whether it was 3 years after this, or 3 decades after this scene, and Pontius Pilate dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, that Pontius Pilate died. Have you ever considered? And you know what happened when Pontius Pilate died? Suddenly he stood before the Almighty. Suddenly, he's standing in judgment. And he's standing before a righteous and holy God. You may think that the decision is yours. You may be under this delusion that you decide who Jesus Christ is, but never shall you forget that one day, each and every one of us, no matter the color, no matter the name, no matter our position in culture or society, each and every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for simple thoughts concerning Pontius Pilate. And yet we look forward to unwrapping the Sanhedrin and the Lord Jesus Christ, to see him for who he is, and to know the power and the authority of a righteous and holy God. Father, we confess and we proclaim that there is none in heaven or there is none in earth like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his name is elevated both in heaven and in earth. And we pray in that precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead.